I want to continue this morning on our series. I think Carl started last week on the series of running after him or seeking or running after him is what I call it. It's God's presence, and we're talking about the presence of God, which is actually the key of what we do here this morning or the reason. And I want to continue on that, like I said, and then read you a story or go back to Scripture in Acts 9, the story of Paul's conversion. I have to admit that while I was preparing this, it wasn't probably my chosen part, but though I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to stay on in this chapter, and sometimes you want fresh stuff, and you're like, oh God, I don't know this, but sometimes if you dwell long enough there, then the Holy Spirit just enlightens certain things to you, and it becomes fresh again. So for some of us, might be just a refreshment. For some, it might be this morning something new, and irrespective of what that might be, I trust that the Holy Spirit, that you will journey with him this morning. Because we can do what we do, we can sing songs, we can pray, we can stand there, we can do whatever. But if we haven't got God's presence in our midst, we might as well close the doors. You know, because then we're just acting religiously. We're just a religious church, just doing a lot of things, going through the motions. And in my own life, I am really investigating and allowing the Holy Spirit just to just place myself before the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord, Lord, is your presence drenched, or am I drenched in your presence in everything that I do? The way I am at home, the way I deal with my children, the way we talk to one another, what we create there at home, is that a place that you feel welcome, where your presence can be there? That one day, my children will be able to say, my dad showed me the way. I mean, that would be the greatest testimony for me. If my children can say that one day, you know, that my daddy showed me the way. And I believe that is your heart as well. And likewise in this church, that people will have encounters with God and they will able to say, you know what, it was that one day that I got into the presence of God that changed my life forever. More and more. And you get so many more of those days. And this story is actually about an encounter that happened, that took place. But the encounter was about two people that both experienced God. Both of them encountered God. The one was a believer, the other one is a non-believer. But both of them encountered God. Both of them had to overcome something in order to get to one result. Yeah. So, very interesting story. You've read it probably before. But as a result of these two men's obedience, something changed in the kingdom of God. Something miraculously took place. And it brings us back to that place of realizing that God's presence in our midst matters really today. Amen. You can say amen on that, because that's what it's about. It's about his presence in our midst. As Moses said, Lord, if you're not going with us, we do not want to go. And Lord, it's your presence that distinguishes us from other nations. It's your presence, listen to this, it's your presence or God's presence upon your life that distinguishes you from the person next to you. Doesn't make me more special. Just the fact that I'm with God, that we're walking with God, distinguishes us from the person next to us. We're facing the same challenges probably. We're going through all the same stuff, but his presence is with me. And that is comforting to me. That doesn't mean obstacles are not in the way. In actual fact, they are there. But his presence is with me. And he is the one that's with me this morning and with us this morning, wants to assure us. So as we continue, I really want to encourage you, open your heart this morning just for encounter with the Holy Spirit. Just to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. If I need to encounter you in a fresh way, I want to encounter you from here onwards. Maybe you're busy with a process this morning, and as part of the charismatic movement, it concerns me sometimes that we become so familiar with the presence of God. We speak so lightly about God's presence and, oh yeah, just another one, you know, and it's a lot about our preparation and how we come before God that we have to work on. You know, we got liberty somewhere in the back door. We quote that scripture. In the presence of God is liberty, but then we do everything what we want to do, but we don't realize that he's in our midst and it requires something of us when he steps in. But I don't want to run ahead with that. I want us to get to Scripture, Acts 9, and I'm going to say that graciously and lovingly and asking as well, if you have a Bible, please bring it with you to church. If you have a phone, then use your phone, but if you make notes on that, because today we're going to make a lot of notes and sometimes there are encounters and moments where we stand still in specific scripture. You know, I don't have a Bible that don't have a mark. I don't believe in that. Use that Bible. You can buy a new one if there's a lot of mark. But, you know, it's amazing when you underline, make circles, make notes, you know. It's precious. I've got Bibles like that I'm so afraid they get lost, because sometimes I travel around and I forget my Bible there, then I realize, oh, I've left my Bible there. And a couple of times I was really worrying about a Bible, a specific Bible that has been with me for 10 years now. And I had so much stuff in that Bible that is just precious to me. Precious encounters with God that's written in there, apart from my diary. So I really want us to get into that culture back, you know. It might be old school, but there's a lesson there. Write down when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. His words are precious to me. That's what Job said. I will devour them. When I heard your word, I will devour them. And I think that's so important for us in searching God's presence, you know, that we would come here with a word. That's why Paul said, and I can go on. How is it when you come together that each one has got a word? I mean, I dream of that day when Paul will come and visit us and tell him, listen, quiet down a little bit. Too many of you have got a word. We need a bit of order here. Imagine that. There's too many that's speaking in tongues and too many that's got a word. Today, it's just the opposite. Can you just speak in tongues? Can you just bring a word? Yeah. And Paul said, hey, listen, we need to bring a little bit of order here. I can see all of you are eager. All of you are eager to bless one another. Well, just give you some guidance here. That was why he wrote that specific chapter. You know, so we can do a little bit with that. So come prepared with your Bible and a word and just to bless the Lord. But Acts 9, let's read from verse 1. The story of Saul. Meanwhile, Saul, and I want you to underline that if you've got your Bible, or make a note that it's actually Saul, not Paul, was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? You can underline that if you want to. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told, you can underline that, what you must do. You will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice. There's also a key point there, but we'll come back to that. But saw no one. Saul picked himself off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him, again, we'll take note of that, by the hand to Damascus. Led him by hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias, Yes, Lord. Look at the two different responses. The one said, Yes, Lord. The other one said, Who are you, Lord? The Lord said, go over to Straight Street. That's where I live, okay? No. No, it's just to get your attention there. Okay, you're still all awake. At least you're listening to. Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you don't want... So stop there. No. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, this sounds like us, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. You can take note of that. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And that part we don't like. Suffer, no, Lord. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, again, a key moment, come back to that. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Amen. Two men, the one a believer, the one a non-believer. And what we see in this story is that they met before they actually met. They met before they actually met. They met in prayer before they met in person. Both of them had an encounter, and then they see one another in the spirit, and the Lord speaks to them and says, listen, do this and this and this, and then actually meet him in the natural. Very, very valid point there for us just to start praying maybe more often, because I'm about to make a statement here. There are more people that you have not yet met purely because we're not praying enough. That God wants to bring us to key situations, key places, key people in our lives if we just seek him more often. Ananias had a moment like that. He will bring us back to that value of prayer in our lives. Before they met in person, they met in prayer first. Two encounters. But here's the thing. Let's come to that first part, which is important. Four things that we would probably learn this morning from Ananias and or Saul and Ananias' encounters with the Lord. Saul is this this guy with a suit this morning. Probably very conservative. He's been handed down the Torah. He knows the scripture. And then he starts worshiping God by form. He starts worshiping according to what he's been told. He does according to what he believes is right, starting to form a picture of the Jesus he believes he's serving, or the God he's serving. Then he's fervently going down this route, even opposing and killing those that are in opposition according to his Jesus, because I've got the right message now. I'm serving the right God, and I'm all with it. Until one day, on the road of Damascus. Because Paul seemingly believed that he was in relationship with God. Now, I don't know all of us that well here this morning. I know some of you a bit better, but I probably can say, I know that you know the Lord. I can see the fruit in your heart. Some of us, I do not know. But it's possible to sit here this morning like a Saul, believing that you're on the road, and then somebody steps into your life. You have a moment like today, maybe later today, or somewhere during the service, or maybe in the past, that you encounter or have an encounter, and you suddenly are so thrown around or off your horse, you realize, what have I been doing all the time? Because Saul thought he's on his way to heaven. Can I say, with the Bible, with all the things that he grew up. I don't know your history. I had a moment like that, or moments like that, where I had it all until I met the real Jesus. And then Saul's encounter, or Saul's response is, who are you? Who are you? I thought this is the one we're supposed to serve. I don't know about you. Until Christ stepped in me, and maybe I had to ask, or say, my response was the same, who are you? I thought I've got it all together. I thought I'm saved. I thought I believe. Because we've been told, only believe. Only as long as you believe, you will. That's the myth, almost in a way, that we grew up. And thank God for a foundation. I spoke about that in a previous sermon about generational interest. If you haven't listened to that sermon, especially parents, please take that prayerfully in consideration. Take your Bible, take your notebook, and go and sit down and listen to that sermon, purely because I believe God has given us some keys there. And I want you, I'm asking you as parents to prayerfully consider doing that. Listen to that sermon, allow the Holy Spirit to interpret that to you in your context, and your, as a parent. It will be on the website, I think, I don't know if it's not yet there, generational interest. Two Sundays ago we spoke about that. But it's decisions that you need to make for the future generations. But I lost my place. But Paul believed he was in the right direction until Jesus stepped into his way. Sometimes we might think we have it all together until Jesus appears. Then you suddenly realize all the things and stuff that I thought I knew. It's in vain now. Who is he? In Genesis, listen to Jacob has, in Genesis 28, verse 16, Jacob has an encounter with God on the road, and he called that place Bethel. But look at the scripture, I think we've got it there. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. Jacob was walking with the Lord. Can I just say this to you? He was walking with the Lord. He was familiar with the Lord. He was familiar with the presence of God. He was familiar with knowing the ways of God. He wrestled with the angel, and that night, Jacob made that statement next morning. God was in this place and I wasn't even aware of this. It's possible in this service this morning to sit here under this place with the same building, same person preaching, same team worshiping. While the one person can say, God is surely here, somebody can sit here and think, oh, can the service just get over? Can we just go home? It's so dry. How is it possible? And it takes a little bit of pressure off me. I'm not saying we shouldn't prepare and we should do our best to bring that before God. We are called to do that. But it says a lot about us coming into God's presence. Why is it possible that one person can sit here, his heart breaks, he's crying, sensing God, knowing that God is here, yet in the same service, somebody else sits and think, oh. It just tells me that God's presence are there and sometimes we just miss it. Because we need to be present when God is present. I spoke to our worship team the other day. I said to them, guys, I know we have to do everything in our ability. And it's sometimes a frustration. I know. I speak to them. I know for myself as well. It takes sometimes a lot of effort to stand here and to get people into the presence of God. When 50 or 60 or 70% or maybe some are just somewhere out there. And you see that. I can see your face, okay? So, and you can see my face. So we look at one another. And sometimes the Holy Spirit just shows us the person is just not here. He's somewhere, I don't know, on an island somewhere in his own world. And you realize that, and all you can do is just encourage one another. Let's just get in. Let's just get in. I can't force you into that place because God is inviting you. It's a choice that we willingly, willfully need to make. Come on, let's go higher. Let's climb higher. Let's go deeper. Let's go to that place that we can encounter Him. And I'm speaking to them the other day. I said to them, I know sometimes it feels like we're wasting two songs. Because it takes us sometimes so long before we can sense, oh, He's now here. This is it. God is here. Because we're singing one, two songs, sometimes three. Then we've got maybe one or two left in the barrel. And then we finally sense God. Why? Because we didn't come prepared. That's the truth. If we walk with Him, if we come prepared, it says a lot about our preparation, of experiencing Him immediately. When we're in tune, when we not coming blunt before Him, unprepared, we sense Him with the slightest way of Him stepping into our midst. But our spirits become blunt and we leak. That's why you need to continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit, staying in His presence so that we can sense Him at any given time, so that when the worship starts, I'm there. I'm just experiencing the maximum part of that. Other than that, just get through this. Okay. Almost there. Why would we want to go there? If He want to give us, you see, the fullness. If we become attached like Paul, or like Saul, sorry, like Saul, to worshiping God by form, listen to this. Because Saul got used to worshiping God by form rather than by spirit. He lost Him somewhere along the way. It's possible this morning to worship God by form and continue worshiping, and He will not be in the room anymore, and we carry on as if He's in the room because we're so accustomed to form rather than sensing He's here in the Spirit. I know it's deep. It's possible this morning to worship according to form, having conversation with one another, and then He steps into the room and we don't even realize that. Isn't that rude? I find that. When I'm having a conversation with Carol, and let's, for instance, say Vivian steps into it, she comes stands next to me, and I don't even acknowledge her. We just carry on with the conversation. We don't even greet her. We just carry on as if she doesn't exist. That's just pure rude. I don't know. Do you agree with me? I believe it's possible this morning to worship when the King enters. And we worship and we don't even, or having a conversation, let's put it that way. Having a conversation as brothers and sisters and suddenly not realizing, he just walked in. and that woman, that there's something here. He's here. And then suddenly our spirit needs to open up. It's almost like a radio. Where is he? He's here. I want to see him. I want to experience him. Other night we had our worship night. Oh, not the worship night, the prayer night. The half night prayer night. And it was just such a blessed event. We had our first ever half night prayer, which actually was a full night. But we had so many people that joined in at the cell groups. And people were praying here from 6 o'clock every hour. So we had shifts that we could come and pray here. And that was, to me, so special. When I got here just after 11, I just believe God felt so welcome in this place. As people were preparing this place, and his presence was just so strong. So I walked through that door, and when I stepped into that, it was like day and night. I immediately sensed that. It's almost, it reminded me of something I experienced way back in Zambia. I remember we were up there in Zambia, and we were having a conversation on our way to the church. Carl was with me. Back then he was still in Vanduk. We were talking about, I don't know even what, chat about stuff. And then we stepped into that church building. And as we stepped into that building, it was like, whew, something different here. And then the presence of God came upon us, amazingly. We started experiencing. It's possible that we can miss the King of Kings when he walks into our midst if we are not present when he is present. Why? Because we're not sensitive enough sometimes. And we had that intercession night, and that night God just miraculously, or graciously, shall I say, just showered me with his presence. It was just beautiful what I could experience for that moment. God said, "Just I want you just to experience my heart tonight." You know, not so much about the prayer, but here's the thing. Saul had an encounter with God on that day, on the God where he thought he was serving, and he met the real Jesus, had an encounter with him. And then there are a couple of other things that happened after that. Now, all of us sitting here this morning can have that. All of us can have that first encounter with God. And the reason why we all get to have that first encounter with God is because of God's grace. Purely. Not because you found him. You're not so good to find him. I always remind myself that he found me. Purely because of grace, purely because of love, purely because of his goodness, purely because he loves us. He first chose us. We only know love because he loved us first. That's the only reason why you have the first encounter. But what I've found in life as well, not everybody has the same amount of encounters. Some get more encounters with God. Why is it that some have more encounters with God than others? I believe there's a reason we have to look at it. But quickly, the first thing I believe why some have more encounters is they treat him as the king. If the king would step in here, how do you treat him? Do you honor his presence? Do you realize that you're sensitive? I say, God, this is wherever. And if it's not here this morning in your car, at work, at home, wherever, are you sensitive enough when he's stepping in just to stop for a moment and say, God, I honor, I acknowledge your presence right now. I just thank him. Any given time, I just at that moment, thank you, Lord, you're right now. I just sense you here. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are so that I'm privileged this morning to experience you right now. And I'm not talking about the almighty presence. I'm talking about the manifesting presence. I don't know if Carl covered that last week, but somewhere we want to cover that because there's a major misconception about the almighty presence and the manifesting presence. I'm preaching on the manifesting presence here this morning. That when he's stepping into our lives, that we recognize the king is present here. Wow, the most important one right now. Can I just stop the conversation? He's here right now. And it can be possible around the, I want to say, briefly sphere. It can be possible with friends around a coffee table and say, well, can we just stop here? He's here. I sense him here. He's right now. He's now. Can we just honor him for a moment? Can we just give him praise? That's the kind of king I serve, which I believe he wants us to serve him that way, to be sensitive at any given time. And the other thing is we yield to his reign. We die. Today you die. There's a joke about that. But Leon Schuster, why are you laughing? You're about the snake and the stuff. He will die today. Okay, not going there. But here's the thing. When Christ steps into our lives, or the King steps into our lives, we need to yield. That's what they did to the ancient kings. We bow. Or we just acknowledge he's here. I don't know how many of us will struggle with heaven one day, just because it's kingdom. God will have to liberate us from our thinking. You're now in a kingdom, man. It's just not the, you're not the president that you voted, that you liked. This is your king. The king decides. Liberate us from that. But in order to get to that place, we need to yield continuously. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord. I see that, but I struggle, Lord. Help me. But I want to, Lord. I want to die in that area. I'm aware of that. Thank you for your grace. He'll keep on coming back for encounter after encounter if we continue to treat him as the king and we yield to his reign. Verse 7. Then the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice but saw no one. Okay. Listen to what's happening here. Saul had an encounter with the Lord on the road and had a couple of companions with him, a couple of friends. Saul saw God, Saul experienced God, the others heard about him, but they didn't know, they heard the bell, or they heard the sound of the bell, but they didn't know where the bell is. Is that Afrikaans or English saying? I still don't know after the first time. You heard the bell, the sound of the bell. Is that Afrikaans, direct translation? Huh? Ek weet nie wat een is dit nie. Afrikaans, yeah, that's maybe it doesn't make sense to you, but anyway, we've got that saying in Afrikaans. You heard the sound of the bell, but you don't know where the bell is. And sometimes, as in this case, these men, they heard about an encounter, but they didn't know who Paul is encountering. That somewhere, he's experiencing something different than what we are experiencing. And there's a story in Mark 16, I believe, verse 14, when Jesus appears to some woman after his death, and he was after the resurrection, he appeared to some woman. Then his disciples, or the woman told the disciples, oh, we saw Jesus. And they didn't believe the woman. Okay, men, you have to be careful what you say. If the woman say that, you say, yes, amen. Okay. This is deep stuff. And Jesus had to rebuke the men. Now, he had to rebuke them for their unbelief. Because here's the thing, they experienced Jesus, but just because they didn't believe their experience as though they experienced, or how they experienced Christ, Christ had to rebuke them. I know I'm trying to go a long way, but I'm trying to say to you here this morning is sometimes you're not that good enough or that sensitive at the moment to sense God, but God has luckily got somebody around you to sense him and to tell you he's here. And if we want to pick him up or sense that he's here, we'll have to learn to pick up the sense or the ability to listen to others' testimonies and to discover and to discern the signs of how others experience Christ. Because we can sit in this place. Sometimes we're just not there. Come on, let's be honest. We're just human beings that sometimes gets a bit distracted. It's not that you're less holy, okay? It's just sometimes we struggle to get our minds there. And somebody picks up, he's here, he's here. Can we just focus for a moment? He's here. And then we can align with that. I'll tell you this story as well. On our farm or back in the south of Namibia where the people farm with sheep. That's a place, it's a rugged place. It's sometimes dry and arid. And the thing is, when you farm with sheep, you've got one common enemy as a farmer, and that's called a jackal. Huh? Now, if you've ever been there driving with a farmer on a normal day, people, you haven't seen that, but you drive on a normal day in the field and then suddenly you've got a jackal jumping out here. You don't want to be in that bucky if you're afraid of how people drive. They just totally lose their mind. There's one mission now. We kill this jackal now. Doesn't matter how many stones, doesn't matter how high, what, we're just going for it, you know. And I've seen people literally breaking cars after this jackal. We've got to kill this thing. And forgive me, all the people that's a bit more on the green side, but I have to tell you, this is just a predator, okay? We're protecting the sheep. Okay, there's a part of the protecting part also. But nevertheless, so once in a while, they would do, if they have a problem with those predators, with a jackal specifically, they get all the farmers together and say, listen, we've got a common enemy here amongst us because this thing is moving around us, taking our money or our possession. Or today is the day, D-Day. So they gather all the people, some on bikes, some on horses, some on buckies, all the rifles, and a lot of dogs. Every farmer is bragging with his own dogs, and they got all these thin, fast dogs and all of that. But long story short, they will start from a side and they start making a noise, and then hopefully the jackal would come out of his hole and wherever he's hiding, and he would run and they would pick him up. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you have so many dogs, not all of them is picking up the scent of that dog, of that jackal. But somewhere in that bunch or group, what do you call a pack? Pack, sorry. Yeah, pack. One would probably pick up the scent of the jackal and then he would run for that. And the other dogs, they can actually, they have a decision to make or choice. They can either join their dog or they can go on their own here, trying to find it. But if they can align themselves to the main one that smell that one, eventually they will catch the jackal. And here's the lesson. If we can align ourselves sometimes to the ones that God has placed us, just to be sensitive enough, when we sometimes miss it, then we all get the benefit of experiencing Him. Because sometimes we're just not there. And it takes two things this morning, people. It takes, first of all, for us to experience Him through others. The way we honor one another. Honor. Honor. I'm going to hammer on that. Because that's the thing I want us to establish in our culture and our midst. The way we talk to one another. The way we think about one another. The way we receive one another. You shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, says. And he receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Can carry on and on. Who am I to you? Who is your wife to you? Who is your husband to you? Who is your cell leader to you? And I'm not saying we can't be friends. I'm not saying that. But if we break down those barriers, then we won't receive from one another. And that's something at all times that we have to make sure that we establish, that we receive from one another as the one that's been sent by God, as the blessed one, as one that God has placed in our lives, one for another. And the second thing that we might have, what we definitely need is humility. It takes humility from us to receive from one another. A teachable spirit. Our ability to say, hey, I smell, I don't smell it, but I believe you smelling him. I'm going with you. I might not be in tune now, but I'm moving with you here. Because together and corporately, we will experience him. I'm moving on. I'm running out of time, and the exciting part is still on its way. Verse 7. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat. Oh, sorry, let me read verse 6 as well. This is key. This is now after Saul asking Jesus, who are you? And Jesus, I want you to take note that Jesus gives Saul a command. Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told, and you can underline that in your Bible, you will be told what you must do. That's not Jacob van Rooyen told you, it's not Werner Ewald that told you, that's Jesus Christ that gave Paul this instructions. Get up, go into the city, and you will be told what to do. I want you to see what happened here. Paul had an authentic encounter with Christ. After he had an authentic encounter with Christ, Christ's instructions to him was, get up, get out of this place, go into that place, and you will be told what to do. Now, that's it. That's the words that we do not like. I don't know about you. Nobody's telling me. There's a part in us, at least when I got to Christ, or at least before that, let me put it that way. And sometimes still, if we allow the old man just to reign, or just sometimes we allow the flesh just to reign, and we give him too much space, he says to you, I will not be told by any person. Nobody's going to tell me what I should do, when I should do it, and where I should do it. Especially not the church. Don't give them that much space. Don't give them too much space so that they can decide. Hey, come on, you can laugh. That's the truth. Huh? I laugh about that because that's me. I can preach about me at least then. Okay, I'll make a fool of myself. Because there's somewhere deep inside of us that part that doesn't want to be told. But Jesus gives Paul the instruction, Saul the instruction, the man that had it all together, this scholar, this one that was persecuting others, listen, guy, I can just, possibly, in other words, he knocked Saul off his horse and said, listen, you thought it all together. Can I just tell you, get up and go into the city and now you'll be told what to do. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful type of discipleship? Who's telling you what to do? You can answer that for yourself. Who's telling you what to do? If you haven't got that person, you're disobedient. If you haven't got that group, you're disobedient. Christ has not called us for encounters. Christ has called us for transformation. That as we come into that presence, and he calls us to that place. Hey, you had an encounter, but now get up. Go to that place. Here's the thing. Christ could heal him at that moment. He had an encounter. He was blind, but he could give him his sight. But Christ chose to give his sight back to him through the involvement of other people. You need to pay attention here, because this is a moment that you shouldn't miss. Because somewhere we're going to miss him. If this is the alarm. Stop preaching. Give me just for 10 more minutes. Then we do. The Bible says that Jesus told him, go into the city. You will be told by others what to do. And then other men took him by hand. It's an amazing type of discipleship. Because when we encounter Christ, we think we know it now. I just met Jesus. No, you still need somebody next to you to take you into the city and to take you to a place where you can regain your sight. I know I'm saying that maybe not angry, but I'm saying that because I know there are too many 20-year-old souls walking around there that had encounter after encounter after encounter, but they hadn't had an Ananias that laid hands upon them and say, we need to pray for you. We need to tell you what to do. And we're sitting today with the misconception and the deception this morning in churches all around the world, the souls that were supposed to be Paul's, but they were never discipled, and they're running for another encounter. And God says, before you run for another encounter, just go to a place that somebody can tell you. Because it takes humility. It takes humility this morning to go and sit down with somebody and just be open and vulnerable. I don't know about you. It's not nice sometimes. Amen? I can see it. I'm just saying, that's the human, that's just the part of us that doesn't want to go there, confront that. But we have the encounter, and then God speaks to one of possibly the biggest, I want to say, saints in history. And if Saul had to start to that place, go you, and then somebody will lay hands on you. And actually, if you study Paul's life, you'll find out that Gamaliel, how do you pronounce that? Gamaliel, yeah. That Saul spent in the back of the desert time with him for more than 2 years, just receiving instruction. And I'm telling you this morning, it's not too late to go back, to retrace your steps, rather than just trying to find sight somewhere, that somebody sit with you. I just put it out there, I wonder how many people can explain salvation, I wonder how many people can explain restoration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, stewardship to somebody else. I just put it out there, purely because we're not doing that anymore. And then at the same time, when it's happening to a soul, the Bible takes another turn. It says, and yet there was another believer, I think verse 9 or 10, somewhere there. Another man was praying, and in a vision he saw Saul, and the Lord spoke to Ananias. He says, Ananias, yo man, you're great with these encounters, but I'm going to ask you to do something brave. Can you step out of that room of yours? And now you want you to go to Saul. Lord, Saul! No, Lord, wrong address. Lord, you got the wrong man. You speak to me about other men. Just put yourself in his shoes for a moment. I can identify with Ananias, you know. Man, we have encounters. Great, God, you're great. Okay, Yahuwah, I just want you to do something brave for me. Can you go to that person? No, Lord, not that one. You don't understand. He doesn't serve you, and God, he will probably tell me, were you to come and speak to me? And actually, his life wasn't dangerous, but more different. But Ananias had to overcome his fear of man in order to fulfill the destiny of God. Can you see there's a coming together of the Saul and the Ananias to get to the Paul? Inside of all of us, and now you should pay attention, probably write it down, allow the Holy Spirit to sing, to minister to you. Somewhere inside of you, there's a soul that needs to be told. And if you haven't aligned yourself to a place that you are being told, can I just say it lovingly, you're disobedient. That's just, I can't preach a different message. Then somewhere inside of you, there's an Ananias where God wants you to lay hands and get your hands dirty and lay that hand upon somebody else's life and start affecting the destiny of the soul. That's just beautiful. I don't know. I love it. I never saw that in Scripture. I never seen it like that. It's just beautiful. Beautiful type of discipleship. Beautiful of God encounters. Both of them encountered, but God wanted them to accomplish one goal. Coming together. And I'm encouraging you this morning to press in, to press deeper, to say, God, am I at that place, maybe like a soul that I hadn't encountered, that I'm still walking blindly through this life, because somewhere, admit it or not, there's a bit of pride in my life. Or am I the Ananias, Lord, that you want to use, that you want me to lay hands upon somebody, but God, somewhere I'm just so stuck in my comfort that you need to tell me, just get out of your room and go over there to Straight Street. Because when Ananias could overcome his fear of man and Saul could humble himself, miracles took place. Because it's more than just the scales that fell off the eyes of Saul's eyes. It's a destiny of, I almost want to say, millions of people, us this morning, that was affected because two men were willing to humble themselves to the call of God. Isn't it amazing? The repercussion of two men that both had encounters with God. That tells me this morning there's a huge responsibility upon us, upon the encounters that we have with God. That though we might not be here any day, one day, if we are obedient today, and whatever God is asking us today, that thing has got the effect or the possibility to affect generations to come. If we can find ourselves, or we can manage to get ourselves to that place of obedience. Last point, verse 15. You see, when we come to God, not only do we need to be transformed and mobilized, there's a place where God wants to speak to us about his kingdom in this encounter. Because God spoke to Ananias. He says to Ananias, look at that, verse 15. He says, but the Lord said, go for Saul. He's my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. You can underline that. Ananias said, but Lord, in verse 13. And that, can I say amen on that for myself? But Lord. You don't understand. But Lord, you don't understand my situation. But Lord, you surely don't understand that I work long hours. But Lord, you don't understand that it's been a tough week. But Lord, you don't understand the children. But Lord, and then it's almost like the Lord is not answering him on that question. He's saying, listen, Ananias, just put it aside for now. I'm talking about my kingdom here. The reason I'm talking to you is this is about my kingdom, the Gentiles and the Jews. I think sometimes we need a moment like that. We with the Lord sometimes, but Lord, oh my God, Lord, could we just for a moment, can we talk about my kingdom? When we get to that place where we're purely encountering, authentically encountering God, and we offer him excuses, God comes and brings us to that place of just, can we just see the kingdom again? This is about my kingdom. I love you, but get yourself to that place. This is about my kingdom. Ananias, this is not about your fear. This is not about you feeling like this or not. And Ananias, can I talk to you about Saul? But Lord, you don't understand. This man has been killing people. Yes, Ananias, you're talking about his past. Ananias, I'm talking about his future. This is where he's going. This is the plans that I have for him. I will show him how much he will suffer for my name's sake. Isn't it beautiful that when we can together as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, and we come together, and the Ananias and the Sauls, and we come together, and God says, I want you to see the clean page. I want you to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because what happens in the last verse, you will see that. Ananias get himself together to that place that he can actually pick himself up, lift him, move out of that room, and then he approaches Saul. Now, listen, he's never met Saul before. He only heard the bad stories about Saul. With his fear, Brook Beaver, I don't know, I have to tell this man, this is a big moment, I don't know. Imagine yourself, last time I heard, I saw probably some of my friends being killed, and now I'm here to tell you, I'll be afraid. It was like, This is it. I don't know if this, first of all, I probably wonder, oh God, was this encounter real? I don't know if I missed you here, Lord. What if I miss God? I don't know. And then he goes, Brother Saul gave him a clean page. Isn't that beautiful? When we can get to that place in the spirit, when we can give each other the benefit of the doubt, when we can realize, wow, I know this man's past, but he said he had an encounter with God. Let's start there. Leave the past for a moment. Let's just start with that encounter. I know there's maybe a long road still to go. I know there's character that needs to go. I know that needs to be formed. I know there's fruit that needs to develop out of it. But can I give you a clean page this morning? You gave it 10 out of 10 for each person. I tell you what, if we can get to that place as a congregation of approaching one another with that honor of giving each other the clean slate, the clean page, and say, you know what, I believe the best. I believe that you had an authentic encounter with God. Can I walk with you? Lately, and I don't want to give you my tactic, but I move from that place. I say to our guys, we move from that place of the encounter. And I will, listen to me, I will keep you accountable for an encounter. When I sense the Holy Spirit is directing me, after you had an encounter, I will keep you accountable. I'll ask you, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? How can I help you? Not to display policemen. I want to ask you, what did he tell you when you respond to that? Can I help you? Because sometimes we want to do those things in secret. Counter God in secret. Serve God in secret. Because I am Jesus' best submarine. You know. During the week, I'm there. Don't know about me. But Sunday, yeah. Praise Jesus. Submarine Christianity. Huh? Stop the submarine Christianity. We're not doing that anymore. I'll keep you accountable. Because God expects me to ask you, what did you experience on Sunday? If you respond to that, can I help you in your journey? Then it's your decision. It's not, I can't force myself, but it's your decision. Say, listen, I'm thinking. I'll end there. It's difficult to pick it up from there. Amen. Close your eyes before we sink really. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want to give you opportunity this morning. If you're here, and I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, before we close this service, I want to give you opportunity. If you are not in a right standing relationship with Christ, like Saul was serving God in form, but not in spirit, and was attached to religion, and he missed God completely, I want to give you that opportunity this morning to meet the real Jesus. Maybe you've been serving him, that's fine. We'll get back to that a little bit in a moment now. But for those of you that you're not sure this morning whether you're in a relationship with God, whether you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ actively, while nobody's looking around, I want to give you the opportunity just to, through you raising your hand and say, Yaku, pray with me. Nobody's looking around. If that's you, I want you just to quickly raise your hand wherever you are and just say, Yaku, I need that Jesus. I'm not sure about this relationship I have. Maybe it's me that you're talking to this morning.